Father God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God that He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Sometimes we think that He does, but He's there with us. I'm sure most of you have seen the movie called The Bucket List. And I think that has coined the phrase, everybody now has a bucket list. I'm sure not all of our bucket lists are the same. The young people, we won't even ask them, because I will never be jumping out of any airplanes or off bungees or that, no. I think most of us would like to see places. That's on our bucket list. We want to see somewhere. We want to go somewhere. Some years ago, we went to the UK, and I was so excited. I had this bucket list of things I wanted to see. As most of you who know me know that history is my passion, and I wanted to see everything that had to do with the Romans in England. And by the time we got to Bath, I couldn't walk. That was the one place I wanted to see. So I sat in the room all the time we were in Bath. That was not on my bucket list. Now I'm going to speak about a man today who had a place to go on his bucket list. And this is a man called Simon of Cyrene. And he had a passion. He lived in this place that was hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem. But on his bucket list, he wanted to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. And we read about him in Mark chapter 15, verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. Obviously, this man was either a Jew that lived in North Africa, in Libya, as we know it today, or he might have been a Gentile that had been converted to Judaism. We don't know. What we do know is that there were a large amount of people, Jewish people, living in that area at the time. Now, at the time of the Passover, many people came into Jerusalem. Historians say about 100,000 people would come into Jerusalem at the time of the Passover. And we find this man that had come from North Africa, an 800-mile journey. And you can imagine in that day how long that journey must have taken, how he must have scrimped and saved and put everything aside for this once-in-a-lifetime trip to be able to go to Jerusalem at the time of the Passover. And finally, he manages to have enough money, and he makes the trip with his two sons, Alexander and Rufus. They must have been about 12 or maybe a little bit older for them to have made the trip with him to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. And he gets a ship, and he finally gets to Joppa. And from Joppa, he has to walk all the way to Jerusalem, only to find that the city is so congested that he has to overnight outside the city walls. The following morning, I can imagine that he must have got up early to make his way into the city, to be there, to experience what it was like to be in Jerusalem at Passover. I can imagine as he made his way into the city, he had thoughts of God making his way to the temple, thinking, today is the day I get to sing those songs of Jerusalem, those songs of God, those songs of the Passover. Today is the day I get to sing those songs in the temple of God. Today I get to be in the temple to bring my sacrifice, to bring my own lamb to the temple and to sacrifice. And as he's going along, he suddenly finds himself in the midst of a great crowd of people. And these people are standing and staring at something. And he suddenly begins to realize that an execution is about to take place. And he doesn't want to be there. This is not what he came to Jerusalem for. He came for God. And here he is confronted instead with an execution. But upon apart from that, he finds himself to be in front, right in front of this whole crowd. And we see this man, he sees this man struggling along the road with the cross, this heavy beam. The second man seems to be even in a worse condition than the other two. He's struggling along. He's covered in blood. And for some reason, he has this crown of thorns pushed onto his head. And he's struggling. He's weak. And he doesn't want to be there. Simon doesn't want to be there. He came for God. He did not come to see this man. What was this man? Who was this man? Was he a murderer? He didn't want to be anywhere near there. He didn't want to be near death. Because if he had come near death, if he touched death, he would be unclean. He would not be able to keep the Passover. He did not want to be there. And as he stands there, this man passes him and he falls. And the soldiers, they will not pick up this cross. That is not what they're there for. They will never pick up the cross, but they have the authority to call any able-bodied man that is present and tell him to pick up the cross. And it just so happens that this man, whoever he might be, has fallen in front of Simon. And the soldiers turn to him and say, "You, shoulder that cross." And he protests. He doesn't want to do this. But Rome is Rome. You do as you are told. And Matthew and Mark and the Gospels tell us he was compelled to carry that cross. So he leaves his two sons. And he leaves the lamb with them. And he carries this cross that is covered in blood. That's covered in the sweat of the man that he does not want to be near. Because this is death. His trip is now ruined. He cannot keep the Passover that he's waited his whole life to celebrate because now he is in the presence of death. Apart from that, what would people think? He's carrying this cross as he's walking along. The people are going to think he's the one that's about to be crucified. What will people think of me as he goes along? And some people laugh. Some people sneer, some people spit. It's a hostile crowd. This was the one and only Passover he could ever spend in Jerusalem, and it's a nightmare. It's ruined. And it wasn't ruined by him. He did everything to make it perfect. He didn't ruin it. This blood, this man's blood, has ruined his trip. He's ceremonially unclean. He can no longer go to the temple. He's disappointed. Have you ever felt like that? You've made all the preparations you possibly could. You've put everything in place to make this trip or this thing or this life or whatever it is perfect. And then something comes along and disrupts it. You didn't plan for it. And you're disappointed. Everything that you anticipated has been taken away from you because of nothing that you did. It's been snatched away. And it was the same for Simon. His plans were derailed by a chance encounter. His plans were derailed because this man happened to fall in front of him. And it could have happened to anybody. But it happened to him. And he might be thinking to himself, if only I had come in by a different gate. If only I had come in 5 minutes earlier. If only I had been at the back of the crowd. And how often do we think of those things in our lives? If only I hadn't done that. If only I had gone that path. If only I had been there. If only I had made those plans. But now I find myself in this situation that I did not plan for. And on the way to Golgotha, Simon must have hated this man that whose cross he had to carry. He probably hated the Roman soldiers who had made him carry this cross. And finally, they reach the killing place outside the city. And Simon drops his burden. And the soldiers get on their business to nail this man to the cross, his hands and his feet. And they lift this beam and throw it into the hole with a thud. But instead of leaving, Simon stays and he watches. He watches as this man is crucified. He never did get to the temple. He never did get to go and celebrate Passover in the temple, because something made him realize that this was no ordinary day. Sacrificing the Passover lamb was no longer important to him, because as he stood at the foot of the cross that day, he began to realize something. He began to realize that this man that was on the cross that day was the Lamb of God. He began to realize that that lamb that he brought that day was unimportant in comparison with what he had just witnessed. And I can imagine him meeting up with his boys again and saying to them, "My sons, behold the Lamb of God." Long centuries separate us from Simon, but we all know him well. When he came face to face with this cross, he could have said, "Why me?" And very often we are faced with a cross and we say, "Why me? Why me, Lord? Why did this happen to me? What have I done? I didn't do anything. Did I sin so badly? Have I lived so badly that you did this to me? Why has this happened? Why did you do this to me, Lord? Why not somebody else?" But when Pentecost came around, Simon understood that Jesus' exhaustion or casual cruelty that was caused by the Roman soldiers when they said, "Pick it up," this was no casual encounter at all. I can imagine that day as Jesus was walking along in his pain and in his misery. The one thing that was on his mind was you and me and everybody that was living there. And even in his pain, his thoughts were for us. And his thoughts were for Simon. And as he walked along, I can imagine Father God saying to him, "Don't fall now, don't fall now, don't fall now, my son, don't fall now, fall now." And he fell in front of Simon. And Simon thought his life was ruined. And God allowed Simon to carry the cross that Jesus couldn't carry. So that Simon might not die. By the providence of God, that man was standing in the place where he was standing that day. And he got to carry the cross. And suddenly, we find we're carrying crosses. Or we're going along with in our lives. And we turn a corner and Jesus is standing there. And he's saying to us, "I want you to carry this cross." And you're saying, "Me? No, it can't be me. It must be somebody else." And he's saying to us, "Let my death be your death. I will take your sin. Just give it all over to me." And his death becomes our life. Circumstances brought Simon to the foot of the cross that day. And sometimes the circumstances in our lives bring us to the foot of the cross. Sometimes they're circumstances that we had not planned in our lives. And we ask questions like, "Why me, Lord?" But sometimes God allows these circumstances into our lives so that we can come to the foot of the cross. Those circumstances always awaken feelings in us. Simon, everything changed for him that day. We can hide in all sorts of things when we are confronted with this cross, these circumstances in our lives. So there's all sorts of ways that we can hide, mechanisms that we can use to hide. We can be angry. We can be lethargic, not want to get out of bed, or just acceptant, oh, well, this is my lot in life. I'll just have to accept it. Or we can anesthetize ourselves. Find something to cover the pain with. Or we can go through the moment and look at what God is trying to show us, or He's showing us. Simon was compelled to carry the cross that day. He had to get to the place where he said, I don't have a choice, I have to carry this cross. The point is, he had to decide how he was going to carry that cross. And that is the point I'm making today. How are we carrying the crosses that we have been given? Every one of us faces circumstances and situations, but how are we dealing with it? How are we carrying it? And if we choose God and begin to look at these terrible interruptions in our lives, we begin to see they're actually doors in our lives. It depends on how we are carrying the cross and with whom we are carrying that cross. I read this illustration of a businessman that went to a passion play in America. And after the play, he went backstage to meet the actors. And as he was talking to the actor that played the part of Jesus, he passed his camera to this man and he said to him, hey, take a picture of me while I hold the cross. And he bent down to pick up the cross, and as much as he tried to pick it up, he couldn't get it lifted. And after sweating for a few minutes, he turned to the actor and said to him, why is it so heavy? I thought it would be hollow. And the actor said to him, with compassion in his voice, if I cannot feel the weight of it, how could I possibly play the part? Simon was a nameless bystander. He was just part of the crowd. But once he carried Jesus' cross, his life changed. Once he had felt the weight of that cross, it impacted his life, and he became a follower of Jesus. And we know this because that scripture tells us about Alexander and Rufus. And if we notice that scripture, it is written in such a way as if we are expected to recognize who they are. You see, this gospel was largely written for the Christians in Rome. And Paul writes later in Romans 16:13, greet Rufus, chosen of the Lord. So one of Simon's sons, half a generation later, we find him as a member of the body of Rome. And I can imagine this young man in Rome being asked over and over again, tell us about the day when your daddy had to carry that cross, when he came face to face in those moments just before he died. You were the last one to look him in the eye the day that he died, that day before he rose from the dead. Over and over, he must have had to tell that story to many, many people about the day in Rome, about his father. And later on we see that Rufus is saluted with his mother by Paul. So we see that this man's life, Simon's life that moment, although interrupted, was drastically changed. in such a manner that it affected his entire family. Simon had felt the weight of the cross. We feel the weight of his cross in our lives sometimes as Christians, and if we don't, we can't truly say that we are believers. Our lives leave influences, and they should leave an influence, particularly on our family. Simon didn't expect the cross, and I suspect he definitely didn't want it. That wasn't his preference, but he came to the aid of Jesus. And in that moment, when he picked up the cross, he felt Jesus' blood. He looked into the eyes of this man. He was covered in the blood of Jesus. And being covered in the blood of Jesus that day changed his entire life. That one moment that he did not want became the greatest pride for him, even to eternity. Some people find a cross. And sometimes a cross finds you. God had a divine appointment with Simon that day. And sometimes he has a divine appointment with us. Like Simon, sometimes these things involve that which we don't really want to do. But sometimes these things can lead to the greatest blessings in our lives. In Galatians 6:14, Paul puts it this way. May I never boast except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And I'd like to say to you today that you have a divine appointment with God today. He's calling each person in this place today, and he's saying to you, I know your circumstances. I know the things that are in your heart. I know the hurts on your life. I know what you are carrying around with you. I know that cross that you are carrying. And here I am. Let me carry that cross for you. I dropped my cross in front of Simon that day, and he picked it up and carried it for me. And I'm saying to you today, Jesus is saying, let me carry your cross. Put it down at my feet today. Those things that you are under a burden with, God wants to take it from you today. He wants to carry your cross. Perhaps there are things in you praying for somebody and you don't see a change. He's saying, bring it to me. There's circumstances in your life. He's saying, bring it to me. There's things from the past. He's saying, bring it to me. You have a child that's not hearing from God. Bring it to him. And he's saying, do you want to leave a legacy for your children today? For your grandchildren, great-grandchildren? Bring it to me. I will give you a legacy for your children and your children's children. He's waiting for you today. He's waiting for you today. He's waiting here for you today. Bring your burdens to him today. If you have a burden, I'm asking you to come to the front this morning and give your burdens to him. He is waiting. He's been waiting for years for some of us to come to him and saying, Lord, carry my cross. And as I close in prayer this morning, if you have that need, come to the front this morning and give him your cross. Father God, we thank and praise you today. We thank you, Father God, that Lord, even in your dying moments, in those moments when you were carrying your cross, that heavy burden, you were thinking of us. You thought of Simon that day. Lord God, as you laid that cross right at his feet, and Father, what a change it made in his life. And Father God, we're coming to you today and we're asking, Father, as we bring our burdens to you, that Lord, you will take them. Take them, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus. Is there anyone this morning that wants to bring their burdens to God? I ask you to come forward now. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.